Hey, fellow traveler. Welcome to the Third Eye Awakening podcast, a show where we talk all about spiritual and psychic awakening, magic, the shift from 3D to 5D, starseeds, ascension, multiple timelines, multiple dimensions, the universe, the multiverse, the Akashic records, all the good things. I am your host, Amy Blair, and I'm so glad to have you here with me today. Okay, let's do this. Hey, everybody. Welcome back for another episode of Third Eye Awakening. Today, I'm super excited to talk to Andrew Miles of the Soul Space community. And Andrew is a small town being with big dreams. Me too. I relate. His sole mission is to embody the infinite potential available to each and every one of us, and in turn, guide others toward their own unique path as well. Andrew actively works right now as an intuitive, a psychic medium, and it's his main goal to work side by side with spirit to help others along their own spiritual journey. Welcome, Andrew. I'm so excited for this conversation. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Amy. I'm really excited and happy to be here. Thank you for having me here.
So we were just chatting before I pressed record, and we were kind of talking about like your soul mission, and that you've kind of stepped into it. And over the last few months, you let me know and started using your intuitive gifts and your mediumship gifts to help people by giving readings. And something you shared in Soul Space today that I was wanting to explore with you is that for the first time, according to your post, you didn't have to deliberately tune in and open yourself up to receive a message on someone's behalf, but you started receiving a message randomly on someone's behalf. Kind of like, I think of Teresa, what's her name, Capuzzo or something like that from Long Island Medium. Did you have something like that, like just where a message came through unsolicited?
It was terrifying.
Was it?
Yeah. So basically, I went to get an oil change because I live in an apartment and I can't change my oil in my apartment complex where I live. So I had to go to like a garage that does it. And I was sitting in the waiting room and this lady comes in and sits down, and I just get this awkward feeling as soon as she sits down. So I'm trying to like play this happy color game on my phone where I just color my number to like chill while passing the time. And all of a sudden I hear this like, hey, you need to tell her that he's going to be fine. And I'm like, first off, who's going to be fine? And I'm like, and am I supposed to be telling this lady? And they're like, yeah, you got to tell that lady that he's going to be fine. I'm like, well, can I have a name? And they're like, yeah, it starts with a B. It's like Benny or Benjamin or Ben or something like that. I'm like, okay. And they're like, you need to tell her that I'm there with her. I'm like, well, who is I? Like, who is this person I'm supposed to be telling is there with Benjamin or whatever? And it's like grandpa. And I'm like, okay. So I was like, I really don't want to do that. So I'm just going to try and ignore you. So I kept trying to play my game, and I got really uncomfortable and I couldn't sit still. My heart started racing. So I went outside and like started vaping because I needed nicotine because I was so anxious. And then it just kept racing. They're like, no, you need to tell her. You need to do it. And I was like, I'm just going to go back inside and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to keep ignoring you. And that did not go well. And then I started feeling like I was literally going to like pass out if I did not tell this person that like the message. So I was like, okay, fine. Yes, I'm going to do this. So I pretty much had a mini anxiety attack while I was trying to do this. And I looked at the person, I'm like, excuse me, do you believe in mediumship? I'm like, psychics and talking to spirits and stuff. And she's like, yeah, kinda, yeah. I was like, I have something to tell you if you're willing to listen. And she's like, okay, what's up? So I was like, so I have a grandpa here who wants me to tell you that Benny, Benjamin, whatever is okay, and he's with him. But I forgot to tell her that he was with the dude with Benjamin part. So I told her that, and she's like, okay. And I was like, does that make sense? And she's like, yeah, it actually does. So I was like, okay. So I don't normally tell people stuff like this. This doesn't come in like this for me. I was like, I'm going to give you a card. If you have questions, you can just message me and I'll give you like more information for free because this is a really awkward situation. And I'm sorry. So I gave her the card And I was like, and now I'm going to go outside and get more nicotine because I'm like terrified right now. I'm sorry if I made your day weird. So I went outside and I just kept having this nagging, like, you didn't finish the message. I was like, are you serious? I have to go in and do this again. They're like, yeah, you do. So I tried to ignore it again. And when I went back in, and then they're like, no, you need to tell her the rest of the message. I was like, I'm sorry, ma'am. Are you open for me telling you more? And she was like, sure. I was like, okay. So I'm supposed to tell you that grandpa is like with Benny or Benjamin. I was like, and it was an accident. Whatever happened was an accident. And she's like, okay. I was like, I hope that makes sense to her. And she's like, yeah, that's spot on. So then she gets up to leave like a few minutes later, and she kind of like moved to another seat further away from me in the meantime at that point, like while I'd gone outside and come back in. So that's why I thought I'd terrified her. So she leaves, and then I got home and I told my fiance about the situation, and then like laid down to meditate for a little bit. And then I get a text from this person like, hey, I'm really sorry if I was awkward. I really appreciate your message. It like gave me a huge sense of relief. And I was like, and here I thought that I had terrified this person, and it actually was like what they needed to hear.
Oh, I'm so glad that she texted you.
I was so scared though.
Yeah, and well, also because you said that you have like some anxiety already, right? So like with people and all that kind of stuff. So you're basically being asked to confront your fear.
Pretty much. Like I'm not good in a group of people that I don't know. Like it takes me a while to open up to people in general. So
yeah,
I was between that and the fact that people usually like pay me to have a meeting, so then it's one-on-one and comfortable, like how we're doing it with the video chatting thing, so I don't have to be like, oh, by the way,
right,
this random disembodied voice is telling me to tell you that.
Totally, it makes a big difference, right? I actually used to get information for people all the time, and that's what pushed me into this, but it wasn't anything that clear and specific. Like I don't feel like I'm a strong medium per se, but I would just sort of get, I don't know, it's like I knew what people were going through. I knew what they were thinking and that kind of stuff. And I would want to tell them, but I just was so acutely aware that they weren't coming to see me for that. They weren't paying me for that, or we hadn't prearranged for them to receive this information. And it just feels so almost like intrusive to try and give somebody a message like that. That's so, I don't know, it's like it's vulnerable, right? So you're kind of cracking them open potentially. But when you try to crack them open, if they don't really want it, then maybe their defenses go up and they shoot the messenger.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was worried about with that situation.
Yeah.
Like mediumship is something that I want to do, but I also, there's a lot of other things I want to do. Like I want to do channeling as well and stuff like that. And that's just part of what I want to do in my big thing is like I want to talk to people's guides and like help give them like guidance for their spiritual stuff. And then sometimes I have like spirits intruding, like wanting to talk to them. I'm like, do you want information on this? Because I'm getting this, like I'll give it to you if you want it. It's like I have to always make sure, just for my own peace of mind, that this person wants this before I like shove it at them.
yeah So let's back this up. And like, did you always have these gifts and these sensitivities? Were you a psychically open child?
I don't know. So my first memory of my own weird thing happening was, I think somewhere between 7 and 10, I was walking down steps at my house, and we had a bi-level. So it was like one set of stairs to go up to the upstairs floor, a landing space where the front door is, and then another set of stairs. So it's like one set here and then another set that goes down right next to it. So I'm walking down the first set and I get to the landing, and all of a sudden I was like outside of my body, watching my body walk down the second set of steps.
Wow.
And I freaked out, and then I like snapped back into it and almost fell down the stairs on the way, down. That was my first memory, and I was like, okay, that was not normal. And then I kind of just pushed it away because I was like, I was raised in a very Christian household, and like, no offense to my mom or anything like that, but that stuff wasn't, like, you don't talk about that kind of stuff. You don't talk about spirits. You don't talk about any of that. But another thing she told me was that I was, like, this weird child who I had an imaginary friend that I named Will. So it turns out I was adopted, and at birth, my birth mother named me William. And then when my parents adopted me, they changed my name to Andrew.
Wow.
Because I was adopted at birth. So I don't know if I just knew that my name was William and I was naming this person William, or the spirit William, or the whatever the imaginary friend was. I don't know. I don't remember. Like, because I don't remember most of my childhood. It's all like blacked out pretty much for me. So.
And is that because, like, was it a difficult childhood? And so you just kind of have a protective screen up?
Kind of. Like, my mom was very, like, emotionally supportive and everything of us. My dad was a narcissist and, like, verbally, mentally, emotionally abusive. Mm. He wasn't physically to me, but he had tendencies. So I did block out a lot of stuff because of that. And then, so being raised in the church, sometimes, like, they let things go or they brush it under the rug type deal.
Mm-hmm.
So like I didn't necessarily always get the emotional support that I needed from anywhere other than my mom, and she would be like caring for me, but like I had to go for therapy when I was like 14 because turns out I had like severe OCD and like then I had to and like depression and anxiety and stuff like that. Like there was a lot of weird things that I just kind of pushed down, some mm-hmm. other stuff that I won't mention on the podcast, but mm-hmm. I did have a somewhat, not as traumatic as some people, but traumatic for me experience growing up. So I think I did push a lot of things down.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I turned like 14, I had that mental breakdown essentially with the OCD thing. And then I had like all kinds of physical health issues come up. And then that was, I think, a catalyst for me starting to believe in like other stuff, because I was like, okay, why would God let all this terrible crap happen to me and make me this way? And it doesn't feel right. So it kind of started the doubt in my mind of like the Christian belief system of what God was. And then I think through high school, I got really into like revelations of the Bible, because I got into all the darker stuff and like the end times and everything like that. And that kind of just spiraled from there, where I slowly started my decline into like being an agnostic person and not believing in anything really, and not knowing what I believed in. I think after that, I kind of got interested in like witchcraft type stuff, but I didn't know where to look. And there wasn't as many resources when I was like 16 living in a Christian household for me to be able to have access to. So I pushed that away until I was like mid 20s. And then, actually, until I was about 27, and I'm almost 29 now. So when I was 27, I decided, you know what, I don't care. I'm going to start practicing and I'm going to start meditating like every day. And I found a mentor because I had bought a pack of tarot cards. I started practicing with them. I was like, what am I supposed to do? And the cards pretty much told me to dive deep and start looking for deep. Like they gave me like the hierophant, like a teacher basically.
Yeah.
So I joined this group on Facebook for like local people in my area who were pagan. And I found a teacher who was like Wiccan, but he was kind of like gray. He wasn't like all love and light, and he wasn't like all darkness. He was just kind of right in the center, and he had experimented in both sides of things. So he set me off on like teaching me how to do like the practical work of all the stuff that I had read like here and there over the years, and taught me how like energy manipulation and all that stuff. And then things came up where him and I were still friends. He still teaches me stuff, but he couldn't keep teaching me. So I kind of like started diving in more myself and just meditating like 2-3 times a day for like up to 1 hour to 2 hours a day for like 2-3 months. And that's when everything started opening up more for me. So I think I did like every day, like up to 2 hours a day for 3 months of meditation.
Wow.
And I started having all these weird experiences, because at the time I was like, this was actually right when US locked down for everything related to the virus going on.
Mm-hmm.
So that gave me all kinds of time working from home for my job mm-hmm. that I have to do that. So I would do the work and then I would go downstairs and I would meditate for 2 hours, and then I would like practice trying to connect to people and like trying to like view things from where they are. Like, so I would like envision in my mind like this person and connect to their energy, that, and I would ask them before I would do this, because I didn't want to interfere with them. But like I would tell them, I would be talking to them, I'd be like, you're surrounded by like a bee, and I see something white and fluffy, and like they would tell me that's literally the clock in the bathroom that I'm standing in has a bee on it, and my bath mat is white and fluffy. So I started practicing all this stuff, trying to get, I forget what it's called, is it, it's not astral projection, it's
remote viewing.
Remote viewing, yeah. So I was practicing remote viewing, and then I started practicing astral projection, and that was interesting, and I saw lots of weird things with that. And I just kind of like went through lulls and then built it back up and went through lulls, and it was really weird because I always liked the number 27, and 27 is the number of the year of my, like, I was 27 when I started my path, and I always liked 27, but I didn't know why. And then the month, the day of the month when I found my next mentor for mediumship and spirit connection was on the 27th of that, of the month, when I had my first meeting with her, and she told me that she was going to teach me how to do all this stuff. And I was like, that's a weird synchronicity. I was like, I've loved the number 27 from the time I'm a small child, and I don't know why. And now all these things are happening on 27 days, yeah, and time, like time frames in my life.
Yeah, that's so, so that's cool. Kind
of where it's built up to now.
And so, so that's really interesting. I so appreciate you sharing all that, because, I mean, what a perfect plug again for everybody. Like, because I get people ask me all the time how to connect with their psychic abilities. Really, it's like meditation, but the very next step of that is like having some kind of devoted practice. You can pick anything. You can pick anything, anything, whatever is the most exciting and interesting to you. But you just have to put the time in, put the time in, and like make the space for it, make it important to you. If you are just sort of doing it like, I don't know, perfect analogy. When I was a little kid, my mom wanted me to learn how to play piano, but I didn't really want to learn how to play piano. And so I really only practiced like when she made me. So that would be just on the weekends for like half an hour on Saturday and Sunday. Well, I didn't really get very good at piano because I wasn't self-motivated. I wasn't making it important. It was just something I had to do. So it's kind of like that. It's with anything. You just have to put the time in and cultivate it. But at what point did you start experiencing mediumship? Like, what did you, was that something that came naturally-ish to you when you were younger too? Or was that something you cultivated because you wanted to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I cultivated because I wanted to. So around the time, like shortly after the time that my first mentor told me he had to step down from teaching me stuff, I realized that witchcraft wasn't what I wanted to do, and I didn't really like have a belief in like gods and goddesses. So then I just moved into more spirituality and essence, and started focusing on like just the meditation and just trying to connect to like source energy and stuff. And I got to the point where I was like, I was watching Seatbelt Psychic, if you've ever heard of that. It's on Amazon Prime. It's this guy who's actually really popular, apparently, in like Los Angeles or something like that. And he does ride sharing in this show. He does ride sharing, and then he's the driver, and he'll pick people up, and he'll ask them if they like would like to receive the message that he's getting from like their loved ones and stuff. So he'll give these people like a reading while he's driving them to their destination. And like, I'd always been interested in talking to spirits, but once I saw this, I literally cried and knew that this is what I was supposed to do. Like, I physically watched an episode and started bawling. I was like, I'm supposed to do this.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I need to do. So I just started trying to find someone to teach me that. And someone that I was friends with from the pagan group that I had originally joined, where I found my first mentor, had told me about the lady who became my mentor for mediumship and stuff like that, and told me how great of a medium she was and all this stuff. So I told my fiance about it, and she was my girlfriend at the time, but I told her about it, and she set up an appointment to have a reading to talk to her, like her mom and stuff. And she loved the experience she had with this lady, and I was sitting next to her just like playing a video game or something, and the lady asked to talk to me and like called me like a wizard or a warlock or something like that. And like, that kind of made me like, okay, I'm going to talk to her. I'm going to schedule an appointment. So it took a couple months for me to get my appointment. And she's like, Now I want to talk to you about you doing this type of work. She's like, I want to teach you how to do it. And I was like, I was going to ask you about learning how to do it from you. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to teach you how to do this work. And I was like, oh, well, am I allowed to swear here?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I was like, oh, shit. Okay, I guess this is what we're doing now. So that's kind of where that ended up. And I've just been practicing. Like, she gave me some exercises. And that was, like, I was doing, like, the astral projection stuff at the beginning of this year and, like, contacting and talking to beings from, like lower dimensional levels that were coming after me. They were, like, because I hadn't figured out, like, what I was doing. I was astral traveling to, like, lower dimensional places and some other places around this dimension. And it was not, they were trying to attack me and I had to, like, fight these energies off because I wasn't prepared for what I was doing. And I still had the viewpoint of, like, less neutrality and love and everything, and I was just like trying to wade my way through the waters. So at this point, like, I was practicing stuff. She had given me a couple tips, and then I think at the very beginning of this year is actually when I literally fully started to work on connecting. Yeah, at the beginning of this year. So last year is when I had a meeting with her, and at the beginning of this year is when she, like, actually had me doing exercises to try and figure this out. Sorry, the timeline got skewed, because in the middle of all of this, I was having this, like, waking up experience, and I was losing time, and, like, having weird body experiences and stuff like that. So it took me a second there to figure out when this happened.
Yeah, well, I
mean, the beginning of this year.
Like, what is time anyways?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's amazing. It's going to be such a weird thing, or it feels weird for me to say this, but I feel so proud of you, even though this is literally my first time talking to you, just because I can feel like, I think this is true for everybody who steps onto a path like this, because it's not like society, your guidance counselor's not telling you that this is what you would be really good at. You know, it's really, it takes a lot of self-validation. And those decisions to step over a threshold of feeling scared shitless of, I don't know, like, being crazy or making this all up or, you know, being wrong or, like, you know, what, just the first time you ever do a reading for somebody, it's like, what if I do this reading and I think I'm getting good information and none of it lands? And then, like, how am I going to handle that disappointment and all that, right? Like, there's so much courage and decision to believe in yourself required to step onto this path. And it just, it's really cool that, especially that it was all really self-guided, and that even though you had mentors, it seems to me like the mentors were manifested as a result of your prior decision to open up to that next thing that was calling you. So, yeah.
Kind of what it was, because I've realized, and a friend of mine also is going through something similar, where we would call in someone to help us. They would teach us, like, the little bit that we needed to know to push us forward. And then something would always happen where they, like, had to cancel our next meeting. And we would just have to keep working on it ourselves, or, like, something would happen where their life took a turn and they couldn't mentor us anymore. So, like, the people are still mentoring me, like, kind of from the sidelines, but, like, it's just little bits here and there. It's not, like, big things where we have, like, a weekly meeting type deal or a monthly meeting where they go over my progress. It's kind of just like, okay, I'm going to give you this little bit and then you run with it. And I'm just like, okay, I'm going to do the best I can.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I was always terrified, like, and I still get terrified every time I do a reading for someone, because I think it keeps me somewhat humble. I'm like, okay, I just gotta go into this knowing that it's gonna turn out okay, trust that it's gonna be good, and whatever you guys want to give me is what I'm gonna give the person.
Yeah.
And I know I can't do it all by myself. I gotta trust the universe to help me. So it keeps me humble and keeps me from getting a big head when I have that little bit of, like, stage fright or something like that before it starts. Like, I have a minute or two as I'm building up into, like, talking to the person before I get comfortable, and, like, a minute or two, or maybe a message or two first, like, when I first start the actual reading, where I feel, like, a little bit nervous. And then as I get the the stuff like, yeah, that sounds or feels right, that makes sense, like then I start getting more confident. I'm like, okay. And then it starts rolling and I'm like, okay, so I'm supposed to tell you this and here's what's going on with this. And I'm just like, it's really exciting and terrifying, and I enjoy the ride. It's like going on a roller coaster that you've never rode before.
Yeah, truly. And every time, I mean, I'm not somebody, I've been doing it for a few years now, but it's only been a handful of years, but I can say that like the doubt doesn't go away. It just gets easier to not pay that any mind and to like just relay the information and just sort of step out of the way and just be like you were saying, like whatever you're going to give me is what I'm going to tell the person, and however they receive it is totally up to them. It has, you know, nothing to do with me. And it just gets easier to spend less time in the labyrinth of the mind that is doubting itself.
It is. And you kind of like build up a rapport with like your higher self and your guides and the universe of like, okay, this means this and this means that. And like when I first started, I had to question, okay, was this a yes or a no? Now, like, I automatically, for the most part, know when I'm getting a yes or a no, or like a kind of, but it's this.
Yeah, because totally. I'm loving this conversation so much because I feel like the way that I kind of describe it, like I think I talked about this in the psychic activation course, as well as a bunch of lives, where it's just like you have to learn to speak that language. You have to, that's why you have to spend time with it. It's not that you can't do it. It's that it's so subtle to begin with that you have to create the space where you can start to hear it, so to speak. But it doesn't always come through as a sound for everybody. Sometimes it's like an image in your mind's eye. Sometimes it's just a knowing. Sometimes it's a sensation in your body. Sometimes it's an emotion. Sometimes it's a sound. But sometimes it's also just like almost like a thought in your head that sounds, it doesn't really have a voice. Like it's not somebody else's voice, but it's all valid. But you have to create the space to first be able to discern when it's happening and then to be able to speak its language, because it's all speaking it symbolically.
It is. And like I have a friend who, this is my best friend. He's started like opening up more. Part of it's like, because I think because I do so much of this and talk about this so much, and it made him curious. So he started meditating more, and he like meditated before, but I keep telling him about all this weird stuff that happens to me. And I think it kind of made him like, oh, okay, I'm going to check this out. So he gets clairaudient messages, and I get I guess it's sentient, the knowing and like the visual mental images and sometimes feelings. So he gets like the kind of knowing kind of images, and then just straight up like audio messages in his mind of like, yes, no, like you're wrong, this is the right thing. So like we'll go back and forth on stuff, and we'll be like both piecing the like whatever it is together.
Oh my God.
Like we read about his parents' house, like he showed me images of his parents' house, and we figured out what happened to somebody who lived in this house previous between the two of us via his like clairaudience and my knowing and seeing and stuff like that. So we just go back and forth and build the picture and figure it out together.
Isn't that just the most fun when you start connecting with your friends in that way, and then you like then you're speaking your secret language together? But I feel like that's the whole way that we are gonna reconnect with these abilities that we actually already have and be able to get to that place where I already feel like the, even with the like ascending consciousness, like telepathy is way closer to the surface. It's just that most of us still don't control it, right? So it just seems to happen kind of randomly. But even our ability to communicate without having to use words or even body language, like just being able to think a thought or feel a feeling and have somebody that we're well in tune with pick up on it, even that is ramping up. But I love that description of you and your friend just like taking your particular gifts and like filling in the blanks and like piecing the puzzle together.
It's exciting and it's fun. And like with the telepathy thing that you were saying, like I have a friend who lives on the complete opposite side of the country of me, and I can think, Sam, message me, text me, whatever. And like when he wakes up, he'll send me a message or he'll like call me or whatever. And I'll be like, hey, I want to tell you something. He's like, yeah, no, what's up?
That's so awesome.
It's fun. We have a good time.
I'm just remembering too that you shared some posts in Soul Space about some crazy experiences you had. What reminded me of this was when you were talking about connecting with beings in the lower astral planes. But then also there were a couple, I think it was you, right, where you encountered like a reptilian, and maybe there was another one too. I know
there's a couple.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I want to hear about all of them, but just pick whatever one you want to talk about.
Okay. So when I connect with my guides, one of them kind of looks like what you'd call like an other dimensional alien being, whatever mm-hmm. you want to say. It has like this very pale skin with like white hair, like shimmering white hair, and he wears robes and stuff. So he kind of is my catalyst for showing me and teaching me things when I meditate. So he like opened up like memories up for me, I guess you would say. So I have to backtrack here now for a little bit. That's okay. Just the start of it. Before I met the mentor that I have now, I got this tattoo, and I'm going to show it to you.
Mm-hmm.
I got this tattoo. This is me.
That's awesome.
I guess. And I guess I'll explain it for people. It's like a wizard who deals with dead people because I deal with souls who aren't alive anymore or on this plane anymore. So I got that. And then I got the one after that of this.
Yeah, the dragon.
It's a dragon. And a couple years ago, I got this alien astronaut one. Didn't know why, I just knew I wanted it. So, fast forwarding then to when I met my mentor, she goes, yeah, I'm getting information about dragons or draconian and Lyran or something like that. And then I'm getting, like, she told me, like, you work with dead or people who have passed over. And I was like, that's really ironic. And then I showed her my tattoos, and she's like, huh, because she hadn't seen those tattoos. I had literally just gotten them like right before we talked. So that kind of set off this trigger in my mind. And like within a month of that, her telling me that, I started getting downloads from my guides where I was seeing draconian beings. So the first one, and I mean like literal dragon beings that were humanoid beings. So the first one was I was like watching kind of like a movie, and it's on like a screen, and I'm seeing this little girl who's standing in her front yard or whatever yard, because it's on a different like planet or in a different dimension or something, and she doesn't look human, she's humanoid, but she's kind of like animal human, and she's maybe like 5, and I see this ship pod thing crash into the ground, and like the opening for it, like the door for it, like flies off, and this big dragon being in like this full body armor suit steps out of the thing and looks at this child. And I don't know how much detail you want me to go into because it gets kind of graphic, so if you want I can kind of mellow it down.
Just go for it.
Okay. He literally looks at this child, she starts like panicking, basically you watch her like cowering up, and he picks her up by the head and crushes her head in his hand and throws the body across the yard. And I watched this whole thing happen, and then it cuts out. And then like a week later, I have another meditation where I'm watching from the perspective of one of the draconian beings, I believe. I'm sitting at a table in this huge building, ship thing. And if you've ever seen Skyrim or like any of the Elder Scrolls things, there's what's called Daedric building, like Daedric demon beings, and they have like these castles and stuff, and there's like these huge black spires and stuff, or the two towers from Lord of the Rings. It kind of looks like Saruman's tower on the inside. There's these huge spires, and it's a really high ceiling, and I'm surrounded by all these draconian beings, and I'm like listening to them talking in another language, and it's like this like grotesque grunting, gnawing sounding type of language. And like all I can tell when I think about it is I could make out the word like kill, and then I had a literal physical taste in my mouth of like metallic blood, like irony blood in my mouth as I came out of the meditation. And I knew that something weird was going on in that situation, and I think they were getting ready to like do something. I don't know, it was weird. The third meditation that I had was I'm underground. And I believe this was supposed to be on Earth. And I think I'm still like seeing it from the viewpoint of a reptilian being, and I'm watching all kinds of other reptilian beings, but they're not necessarily just dragon beings. They're like snakes and like all kinds of other reptilian type beings. And they're going through this tunnel, and I didn't get a sense that they were actually evil ones. It felt like they were a splinter off of like what people would call the main faction when you look into Starseed lore and the war thing. And that they were like some of the ones who didn't want to be a part of that whole like attacking other planets and other systems. And like, it was really weird because it was like they were going through this tunnel and it was lit by torches, and there was like a fire, like a bonfire in the middle of this room, and they were like getting ready to leave. And then the last one that I had was I was on a ship as a reptilian being, and I went to, it was like a physical ship that was made of metal, but it was also like living, and it could collapse in on itself to transport like across distances of like light years and dimensions and stuff. But as it came out of the thing, I was supposed to go to this one room. So I followed this winding corridor to this room. There were all these other like reptilian beings who were sitting down in this chair, and they were giving them light therapy, and they were like trying to change, like, I guess if they didn't want to be in the darkness or that duality or whatever anymore, and they didn't want to live in the dark side of the duality, they were getting like, they're sitting in this chair and having some type of light therapy where it was like literally changing their energy or something like that to try and be less violent and less dark and less oppressive and stuff. I don't know. I just remember I was like not supposed to be there, or I was like seeing through the eyes of this being or something like that. It was really strange. Like, it was kind of like if you imagine seeing through the eyes of this being, watching, like feeling like you're them walking down the hallway and stuff, but you know that you're two separate beings. Or you're just kind of like embodying it like an avatar at that moment. That's what it kind of felt like.
That's so fascinating. And it like, I wish I wasn't so chronically underslept, because I can feel it like bringing forward, I don't know, understandings, but I feel like I'm going to have to sit with them a little bit. But it's so, yeah, I have to sit with them because it's hard. I don't know. I just never want to draw conclusions before I've really, really processed information, but it's super fascinating. And it makes me curious, what do you think this is? Where do you think we are? What do you think this whole universe is? Like, I ask because as you were describing that, it's like I could see what you were describing so clearly. Or like, you know, my own interpretation of it, but it feels really, really clear. And I don't know, it brought to me like a level of realness to alternate realms that, even though I believe in alternate realms, it brought a whole new, I don't know, like literally like dimension of realness to it for me just now. So I'm really curious, what do you feel like we exist in?
Okay, that's a really hard one. I want to start with the fact that I'm not married to any of these ideas.
Yeah.
I try to keep myself open to it. That's just what I've seen. And I've been told I'm a star being, and I've been told that all this stuff exists. I kind of think that it's not necessarily like what you would consider a matrix in the sense of like a computer program, but I think that this planet and all the other planets exist in a matrix to an extent where everything's set up from the very beginning. And I already had like I already understood that this was kind of like a matrix and everything's programmed and you have your free will, but there are outside circumstances that you can only do so much bad, and everything is based on how you choose to react to it and what you choose to do with yourself. But it hit me the other day, like on a cellular level, where I realized that shit, literally everything, if you look even back at written history that we have that's available to us at the moment, and I say that because I don't think that this is the first incarnation of humanity, all of our written history back to the Sumerians is literally an established hierarchy where there's a group of people on top and there's a group of people below them. It's literally a matrix system where we're controlled. And if you choose not to be controlled, that's on you. And that's great. But then you have to deal with a whole set of other interesting things that might come up from that. I think it is a matrix, but I don't think that any of us have like a full grasp of what the bigger picture completely is. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's going to take me some more meditation to figure this out.
Yeah, no, fair. And like, it is a completely, it's a constantly evolving, I think for most of us that are truly like just curious about it, it's a constantly evolving understanding, because as we evolve, our consciousness evolves and opens up and expands, and we can like understand and perceive more, and then like figure out where we're going to put this in our understanding. Right. Yeah. I'm curious about what the part that you said about, how if you choose to, what was it? If you choose to be, to not be controlled, you get to deal with other circumstances. What do you mean by that?
Okay. So the last 2 weeks I've been dealing with, like, I have not been fearing anything as far as everything going on right now. Yeah. And I've been getting visions of beings in cloaks coming to me and trying to hijack my, my meditation. And trying to like mm-hmm. put me into a state of fear mm-hmm. because I'm not getting taken down by the fear of everything else that everyone, the news has been portraying and stuff. So I think that, I don't know if it's just based on the fact that my own perspective, because I don't really believe in good and evil. I believe in neutral and scales of like shades of gray on the scale. So like, I don't know if it's just my linear perspective because I'm here, or if there's actually like negative oriented lower gray scale beings who are trying to come after me because I'm not giving in to the blue pill fear thing. Is it right? Blue pill? Is that the one to go back to sleep?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not giving into the blue pill fear. So I don't know if, it's literally me just being paranoid or if it's me having a valid experience based on my understanding to this point. I'm not sure, but so far I've had some weird stuff. And then like my fiance was like, the next day was like, I really hope that you'll reconsider getting the thing injected. And I'm like, I think about it every day, and every day I get a no from my guides, so until that changes, I'm not gonna do it. And then I got a scare the same week that I was going to lose my job if I didn't get it because of things that Biden was trying to push through for mandating for medical work. Because I also work in a medical facility that repairs equipment for hospitals. Mm-hmm. So in the same week, I had all three of those things try to jump down my throat to like make me reassess and think maybe I should do this. And each time I'm like, no. And I constantly have this feeling like, because I hear my guides through my right ear in a really high-pitched tone, and I keep having this like high-pitched but lower tone, which is what I got when those beings in the gray came in my meditation and tried to hijack it from my experience. I keep having that tone playing in my mind, and I have to keep going in and going, no, we're not going to do this. I'm not going to be afraid of all the crap that's going on. And maybe I'm just nuts, who knows, but... That's been my weird experience of dealing with other things if you choose not to follow the fear.
Yeah. Well, I had the same experiences, but it was some years ago. Like, I guess it was about 2013, I think. Okay. Or maybe 2014. But it was when I first discovered Abraham Hicks, and I was like, I don't know, wasn't brand new on the path of trying to, like, figure out how to, you know, steer my life in a direction I wanted it to go, but I was really ramping up the efforts. And what I got from Abraham Hicks was that I have a lot more control. And that I think the thing that attracted this experience was that whole vibrational scale and starting to understand the frequency of my own state of being, my thoughts and my emotions, and how that affects what I experience in the matrix. And I started having really fucked up dreams. And like they were really, really demented dreams. Like I remember dreaming of witnessing like a family dying in a house fire and being like burning alive and screaming horribly. And I would try to go and rescue them. And there were these dark, beastie, like kind of shapes circling and keeping me away from them. And I just had to witness their horrible screaming. And it was that kind of stuff. And for the first couple times I had those dreams, I was like really, you know, disturbed by it. And then I kind of was like, I don't know what allowed me to draw the parallel. I don't know. But I think it's just that I don't usually have dreams like that. And when they happened several in a row, very close together, it's kind of like, well, what am I doing? Like, what could be causing this? I'm not watching horror movies. I'm not the only, and then I was like, oh, but I am listening to Abraham Hicks, like, every single day and being mindful of my vibration every day. And that was enough for me to be like, oh. And then I noticed that whenever I really make a big up level, I usually have something like that. And I think, I don't know what it is, like maybe it is negative lower astral beings, or maybe it's just our fear, or maybe it's just an aspect of the matrix that is designed to, you know, like pull you back down, or even not necessarily in a malicious way. I don't know, maybe it's just part of the design and we just can't really fully grasp it from the human perspective. But I definitely, and then I hear it from other people all the time, that when they are when they're not choosing fear, they're choosing their own power, there seems to be something that happens to try and rope them back down into those lower disempowered states of being. It's really interesting.
Yeah, like I was trying to figure out, like, am I nuts? Am I bringing this on myself because everything's going great and I want to, like, I want to self-destruct it all? Like, I was like, is there actually something trying to bring me down? Like, it's like impossible to know at this point because we only have limited understanding while we're here. Like,
but even self-destruction, I think, like, I think about that and I'm like, well, why would any of us actually want to do that? Like, definitely we self-sabotage, but I don't think it's really us. I think it's the influence of something that, you know, I'm calling them negative entities. And at this point, I really do believe that they are negative entities, but I don't know exactly what that is. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But I definitely think that there is something, because I've also felt that where, like, I feel that self-sabotage come in, but I'm like, yeah, but I love myself. I love, like, having, you know, feeling like things are going well and I'm succeeding and things are building on itself. Why would I actually want to sabotage that? Ergo, I don't think it's really me. I think it's something that uses my voice and my thoughts to try and bring me back down.
Right. And I agree with that because, like, you were saying, like, why would I want to self-sabotage myself? And, like, I do think that there are, like, lower dimensional things that also want to pull you down, because I had said about, like, how I don't know that necessarily there's good or evil. I'm trying to figure that out because this meditation I had, I was shown that everything is neutral, on a shade of gray to gray, basically. And your perception of it here is based on the fact that it's dualistic reality. So, like, it's not necessarily, it's evil here, but in another dimension, it might just be, it might not be anything.
Yeah.
So, like, I've been trying to grasp the fact that, like, maybe to me, it's just appearing like negative entities or whatever are trying to pull me down. But if I looked at it from a broader perspective, it's just a thing and it's nothing to worry about.
Yeah, I really, really resonate with that. I think that's actually what it is. But at the same time, it's both, because we experience it as we experience it here in this incarnation. But on the grander scale, it's just something that just is, and it doesn't have to have any more power or importance than that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Andrew, this has been such an excellent conversation and I could totally keep going, except I can hear my William in the background letting me know that my time is up.
Oh, well, perfect timing because we're just about at the right moment.
So. Yeah. He was actually very generous today.
Well, that's Thank you, William.
Thank you so much for giving me your time and for sharing this awesome conversation with all the listeners of Third Eye Awakening. Listeners, you know, I love you so much, and I just value your precious attention and your time so very much. I hope this episode benefited you, and I will catch you on the next episode. And come join Soul Space, PS, if you haven't already. Obviously join Soul Space. It's the best. I'll just say it. It's the best. Hello, beautiful being of shadow and light. If you loved this episode and you want more, you can join my new membership, Light Codes. This membership is the place where you will receive all the light codes that I am channeling on how to navigate the intensifying energies of this next phase of the rapid awakening and ascension of the human collective consciousness on Earth, but also all the light codes on how to step into our highest selves to activate our soul mission, to harness our magic and power as creators, and to manifest the highest timelines for ourselves and for the collective. To find out more information about light codes and all the ways to work with me, see the link in the show notes or visit amybelair.com. Thank you so much for being here with me on this episode. I appreciate you more than my words could ever say. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, and share, and I will catch you on the next episode.